I've asked Dr. Alvarez to come and introduce our speaker today. He's going to come and share a little bit about the ministry there, and then we're going to watch a video, and then Brother DDA will come and present God's Word. Thank you, Brother, for being here.
Thank you, Pastor. If there is a word that I could use to define DDA Silverstein, is he is a man of faith. Since the Lord touched his heart when he was 21 years old, he has been growing to become one of the most influential independent Fundamental Baptist in France. He is also a converted Jew, but his ministry is not just limited to the Jewish population in France, which is a little over half a million Jews, but also to the whole country of France. He has been very instrumental in the success that we have had with our mission trips. He has affected and touched our lives. Actually, this church too. I mean, Mallory and Phil, you know, they were part of one of the trips that Didier helped us organize over there, and he remembers them well. So he has a tremendous influence. He's a man that inspires me and that I am privileged to call my friend. He lives in Marseille with his wife, Marie-Hélène, and he's just by the grace of God, he came to visit us, and we are already planning for next year with him. He's also a composer. He's a musician, and he composes really good music, particularly today when we need good Christian music. And we already translated some of his songs to English, in fact, that we are using. And so it is a privilege to introduce him. And you will hear, and he's funny too, and he's a very good speaker. So Didier Silverstein, my friend, come and preach for us.
After serving for 30 years as pastor in three local churches in France, recently the Lord has opened new doors
and led us to a broader ministry. But our calling remains the same. To illustrate this, here is an overview of the last 6 months. We remain involved in our local church, preaching and counseling. We serve in different activities such as street evangelism with Brothers in Christ and in a Christian bookstore too. With Marie-Hélène, we maintain contact with the Jewish community, particularly through a Hebrew choir and a small Bible study group. Together, we participate in cultural events at the Hebrew Cultural Center, where she is also learning Hebrew. More and more, I have the opportunity to preach and sing in local churches. I have the joy of participating in evangelistic activities, particularly for an annual Bible expo. What a blessing also to be involved in a fellowship of Baptist churches through which we organize conferences, pastors' retreats, and family camps. Our churches in France suffer from isolation, and these events have proven very useful. But like the Lord in his ministry, we have had to expand our own ministry. For 3 years now, I have been helping to organize a tour of Europe for a group of American students, a mission trip of discovery, serving, and evangelism.
Jamais en arrière, mais chercher les sauvés. Suivez-moi, je vous fais pécheur d'hommes, et laissez maintenant vos filets. Que ce soit Jérusalem ou Rome, vous et moi, nous pouvons y aller.
For the first time this year, what a privilege to help an exceptional pianist, Sam Rodman, organizing a concert and witness tour. Sam is an Orthodox Jew who received and preaches his Messiah. And for the second time, I was invited to preach and encourage churches in the Philippines in their amazing love and ministry to the Jewish people. Since last year, I'm for IBGM, the field director for Western Europe. Finally, the Lord is increasingly opening my eyes and my heart to the pressing need for servants in France, Italy, Spain, or anywhere in Europe. Are you called to come and feel this need? Good morning. So, I'm French. You will hear that probably during the message, but it's okay. Most of the time you can understand. Not always, but it's okay. With the context, you will see what I say. Recently, you have seen, I was in the Philippines. It was just a few months ago. It's something amazing for me each time, because in my life, I didn't plan to do this kind of things. You know, I love my city, I love my country, I love my home, and I never had in mind to do all these things, but the Lord led it more and more to do that. And when in the Philippines they invited me, okay, I understand, because I'm a Jewish believer, they love the Jews, they invite me for that. But each time I say, Lord, you know, they have good preacher. And surely the Philippines, they love more, if I can say, the Jews than I do. It's amazing the love they have. So I say, Lord, why do you call me to preach there? They don't need me. And the same arriving in the States. You have good preachers. There's no problem. Better, really better than probably I am. And you will understand everything of what I say, not with me. But Lord, why? Why do you send me there and there? And the Philippines, and for here, the answer of the Lord was the same, exactly the same. Go and preach Christ, the gospel. That's all. So it's so different, the situation in the churches, in the States, in the Philippines, in Europe. It's so different. And I don't know you, I don't know the church. Usually the pastors know the people. They know what you are going through, your problems, your suffering, your trials and everything. Maybe they know. I don't know anything about you. We never met. I met some. Okay. I know some because they were in the tour. But most of you, I don't know. So what to preach? And you know, the only thing the Lord is always using in any situation, any culture, any country, any time, any century, is preaching Christ. There's no problem. And I would like to share, so this is the title of the message. We know it seems to be very easy to say that Christ is the answer. Okay. But I would like today, we can be really in the heart, sure that Christ is always the answer. Because we think Christ is the answer when we preach the gospel. Or Christ is the answer when you have a depression. Okay. But in any situation, is he the answer? And this is what I would like to be sure in my heart, because we live that way. Sometimes we have things that happen in our lives. We are searching for a solution. We are searching for provision. We are searching. And we forget that first, Christ is the answer. And also, I was reading this morning, you know that, search first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you. So maybe my way to say that is not exactly the KJV, but it's okay. The meaning is good. So we have to search first. Whatever can happen in our lives, search first the presence of God, search first Christ himself, Christ, and we have to be sure about that because we do things when we are sure, no? If you're not sure, you say, oh, maybe I will try, I will see. But when you are sure, you do the thing. You do the way, you know the way, you take it. So it will be a very simple message. Christ is always the answer. But I will do maybe, because I'm a Jew and Christian, I will do that maybe differently. Because I would like to any teaching find an introduction, an illustration from the Old Testament each time. This is maybe my two sides. I'm an Old Testament and New Testament in the same, like your Bible. So I love to find something in the Old Testament, but I want to be sure it's also in the New Testament. It's not something it takes because it's my way, you know, preacher who can do that. We find a beautiful image, illustration, and we build a message on it. But after that, do we find that clearly in the New Testament? So I would like to do that. If it's not clear, maybe say, oh, not so clear. Pastor, please, you can do that. But I think it will be clear because it's really from the two legs of the teaching is illustration in the Old Testament and explanation and teaching in the New Testament. For example, I will be with that idea, Christ is always the answer. Okay, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Maybe I can pray just before beginning now. Lord, we are just human. We are sinners, but redeemed, saved by your grace. And we know that we need to walk by your grace, and you are sufficient for everything. And you are what we really need. So please, show us these things so we can walk the way you want in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And now 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency or speech or of wisdom. Is it true? No, well, this is very true. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I feel that way. I didn't came with excellency of speech. I cannot. I'm not fluent in English. I do my best. But I cannot do the way like I could do in French. You know, I compose some song. I like the words. I like the phrases in songs. So in French, I can do little something, sometimes a little poetic. But in English,
I cannot do that. So I cannot come, I will show them how I speak well. I cannot do that. So it will be simple. My words will be simple. And the same, he said, I have a sense of humor. This can be also, I cannot do that in English because, you know, sense of humor is cultural too. The French one, the Jewish one is different than the American one and probably South. In the South of America, it's not the same like in New York and everything. So my jokes, you will not laugh about it, surely. So if ever it happens, it's a miracle. Thank you. Some miracle like that just happened a few minutes ago in the Sunday school. I make them laugh. So, but I don't come here with my way of speaking or anything. I will have to be simple. So the first thing I would like to share with you to show Christ is the answer. First, it will be for salvation. The first step is for salvation. And we take that from a verse we know well in the New Testament. If I tell you John 3:16, I'm sure you can tell me by heart that verse. Okay? You know the reference and you know the verse by heart. But I would like to share with you the one just before, the 15. Do you know the 15? I can ask a question. I'm 95% sure that maybe you didn't notice that. Keep that in mind in a box because we read first the Old Testament. But keep that in mind. So Numbers in the Old Testament 21 verse 9. Numbers chapter 21 verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Okay, we have a story in the desert. This happens once. Moses, they were beaten by serpents, they died. And the Lord said to Moses, do a serpent of brass, put that on that, and if they look at it, they will be cured, healed, saved. That's a story. That's all. I don't know. A preacher can think, oh, it looks a little bit like something from the Bible in the New Testament about him crucified. It looks. But, okay, maybe I prefer to preach Christ crucified with he is the Lamb of God for Passover, you know? Instead of using for Christ the serpent, No, I don't like the idea to see my Lord, my Savior, as a serpent. I prefer to use the lamb because he is white, innocent. But you know what? The Bible is more biblical than what I am. So we now go to the John chapter 3, verse 15. And look at, it's so clear. We read that several times. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And you know, the verse 16 begins here. And I like the grammatical things, because the 16 begin with, for God so loved the world that he. So it's grammatical. There was something before. When you say for God so loved the world, it means this is the conclusion of something said before. Why do we forget the 15th verse? Why that? Why don't we see that? Because it comes from the Old Testament. We think, oh, the explanation is cool enough. I use just the explanation. Why don't we use the illustration that God himself used to explain salvation? I am sure, you know, the preachers know that most of the preaching can be forgotten, but the illustration always keep in mind. It's crazy. You know, you preach a good message, 3 points, verses, 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 and you just tell a little story with a cake, I don't know what, the children. And people after that, oh, thank you for your story of cake, I like it. They forgot the teaching, but they remember the illustration. And for that, I would like for us today to stay focused on the illustration that the Lord himself used to explain salvation. Serpent, it's the sin. We all are sinners. We all have been bitten by the serpents. No? Yes. And what says the New Testament? The salary of sin is what? Death. Like in the desert with the Jews. So what is the solution about that? To fight the snakes? Where do we find a poison to kill the snakes? But we are bitten. It's too late. We are born bitten. We are born sinners. We are all supposed to die. So what is the solution? You know, one of our daughter was in Vietnam, and after that she's in Cambodia. And a friend of her has been bitten by a dog. And there, bitten by a dog means rage, danger of rage, and death. So they immediately moved to the hospital. And you know, we use most of the time vaccine before it happens. But when it's done, it's too late for the vaccine. So they had to cure her. And we are not born vaccinated. If you grow in a good Christian family, no, you can be in a good Christian family, good parents, pastors, missionary, or anything. You are bitten. And you need not a vaccine against sin. Teaching is not a vaccine. Teaching is good. Show us the way to do or not do. The law of Moses is good to say don't do or do that. But we are bitten. We cannot. And this is what Romans 7 says, what Paul says. He was so strong in the law, but he said, I am not able to do what I want to do. And I do bad things I don't want to do. He shows that be a good Jew following the law doesn't change anything. Doesn't cure, doesn't heal, doesn't save. So we need Christ. The solution, the answer of God. And the solution he gave us is a serpent. But I am bitten by a serpent. The serpent becomes my savior, he kills me and he saved me? No. It shows that Christ on the cross took our sin on him. And more than that, he became sin for us. He became in the eyes of his father, he became serpent. I have an illustration. We were in Tennessee a few days ago with my wife. It's a little countryside where we stayed. And one morning, opening the sheets on the bed, I saw a big spider. I know, that's this illustration. Big spider. You know, when I say big, I've seen big. But this one, it was big enough, you don't feel comfortable. I will not like to sleep with that in my bed. So what did I do? My wife didn't see the spider. I was just by myself. I could have said, okay, I like that. I will make fun with that. When she will see that, she will shout. No, you don't do that. What do you do? Men, husband, what do you do? Kill the spider. You take something, crush it. And I didn't tell anything to my wife. I just crushed the spider. I've seen others, but that other story. But I killed that one. And I didn't tell her anything because she will fear, probably, if she had known there was one. So just to say, The problem is the spider. What did I have to do? Kill the spider. God wanted to save us. And Jesus became a serpent so he can kill the serpent so we are saved. On the cross, this is what happened. The Father saw his Son like a spider, like a snake. And really, when Jesus went on the cross, you remember what he said? Why did you abandon me? The sin of all humanity, all the time, were on him. He became sin for us. He became serpent for us. And his Father, who loved his Son for eternity, with whom he had a fellowship, a communion, a perfect one for eternity, they were separated for a time. And like I did crush the spider, he did make his Son die for us. And the Son offered his life to do that, to save us. So the illustration of serpent is so strong. We will never forget that. We will forget, I hope, the spider, but that we will not. It shows, really, it illustrates perfectly the love of God for us. You know why I did kill the spider? You know, yesterday, another illustration. I like the nature. I like the animals. And we were working with Carlos on the Pensacola beach, and there were fishers there. They were happy, the kids were happy, everybody was happy. And at one moment, one catch big like that. They were very happy, everybody was happy. And they took it, they put it on the floor, and after that, do fishing again. But in my little French heart, I was thinking, kill the fish, don't let him suffer more. Why don't you do that? You know, I'm French, I'm like that. I don't know why I wanted this illustration. I'm sorry. That's one of my problems when I find ideas too close. I don't know why I said that. I have no solution. Maybe it's my humor, I don't know. No. Lord, help me to know why I said that. It's okay. It's not important. Maybe the Lord loves us. Yes, I didn't know. Yes, maybe the connection with spider. You know, if there was not my wife, if I didn't love her, I should have taken the spider and put it outside. By myself, I do that. The spiders are not my enemy. You know, they eat little bugs, there's mosquitoes that are my enemies. So spiders are not a danger, but because of my wife and because my love to my wife, I had to kill the spider. And the Lord, the Father, loved us so much that he had, by love for us, some people think, is sadism. I don't know the word. And, you know, he likes to make people suffer. Because it's written in Isaiah 53. Yes, it pleased to him. It pleased to him to make his Son die and suffer. What? Yeah, because of the love he had for us. It pleased not to make his Son suffer. It pleased because he loves and saved us that way. Like Jesus didn't want to do that. But it's written in Hebrew that, yes, he wanted to save us, so he did that. Yes, it was with heartbroken and everything, but it pleased him to do that because he knew. In exchange of the joy he will have, he did that. So I don't like to a spider, and he did that. But I was happy to do that for my wife. Now I have why I said the story of the fish, because the connection with don't like to make suffer. So that's all. Okay, that's the first point, but for me, that's the most important. You think, okay, I understand salvation, that's important. No, we have to keep the cross, the love of God, from the cross, always, in any situation, because it will be helpful when you will suffer to know that the Lord suffered for you. It will be helpful maybe to know that He loved you so much, He will never, never let you down. If He did that, it's written in Romans also, if He did that, it means, I hope my wife knows I love her because I killed a spider and I don't like it. And other things. I hope there is other things. So I will not be too long. Just tell me how many minutes, because I have a lot of points, but I want to do just the time. It's tell me. I'm like at home. We are family, so I can ask the pastor how many times, usually.
I usually finish up around noon.
Noon?
Dr. Alvarez says he was hungry.
Okay, I am too. Yes. No, just to know, because I can be so long, or I can do a resume. So just one or two points, important also. Jacob, you know the one. He fought with the angel of the Lord in the night, and he has been touched here. So he will never walk without a staff. Something happened in life, he will need for all his life, from that moment, he will need a staff to walk. The illustration is clear, no? We need the staff, we need the cross in our life. It's not, oh, now I am saved. Okay, now by the Spirit of God, and it's true, I can walk uprightly. But is it without the cross? Just by the Holy Spirit that I can walk? Yes, the Holy Spirit is the power of God in us to help us to do the things. But is it without the staff? Never. And I want to remind you the moment they did battle with the angel. But at the end, verse 17, it's Exodus chapter 4, verse 17, he says, "And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." In our life now, it's preaching Christ. That's not exactly the same story. I'm mixing two stories, but this is about the road the Lord provided for Moses. I made a mistake. Sorry. So come back to Moses when he said, I cannot talk to the people. He said, okay, I will send Aaron to talk. And you will need that road here, take it, and you will do the sign with that. So forget for the moment Jacob, it's Moses. But he will do signs with the wood, with the road. He has been called, but he needed that. So the illustration is what? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews as a stumbling block, and to the Greek foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." So what do we need? Maybe to have more people in the churches? What do we need to make people hear the gospel? What do we need? Do we need more modern music? More, I don't know what. What do we need? Counseling, more counselors. It's good. Everything is good. But what do we need? With what do we do great things? With the wood, with the Christ crucified. And stay with that. Don't imagine a car or a train or an helicopter to do the better the job. You need the wood. That's all. This is the power of God. Oh, we need the power of God. We have the power of God. If we have Christ crucified, we have enough. Oh, but the people now, they don't come in church. It's so difficult. I know, but don't change. This is the solution of God. This is the answer of God. Christ is the power of God. It's not a question of young people or old people, tie or without a tie, or, you know, instruments, electric or not. The question is Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. We don't change that. Never. That's the foundation. And foundation and life. Because sometimes we think foundation is for the beginning, and after that, we do differently. No. Christ is always the answer. With Christ, with the gospel, with the simple gospel to share biblically, with prayers, and with faith, it stays true. Today, in America, today in the Philippines. Have you seen the churches in the Philippines? No, you didn't see that. You just see people. But I've seen life. Life. The churches crowded. Probably like it was 50 years ago in America. 60, 70 years ago. The church is full, crowded, sending missionaries, giving money. Everybody wants to do. Everybody wants to go. And now, oh, don't ask the American. Maybe ask some the others to come. Okay, they are. And you know, the message is the same. There is nothing more. What I preach there is what I preach here. And the need is the same. The answer is the same. And this is biblical everywhere. And this is here in the States, like in the Philippines, like in Europe. They are like anywhere in the world. It's Christ crucified. Any century, any country, any time. And now I finish with Jacob's staff. You know that story I told you already. You have to do it. But now I think the movie, they do that. You know, you come here, and after that you come here. You don't know where you are. He was young, now he's old. Yes, he married. He married before being old, young after. Today the message is like this. So, good gymnastic for the mind. So we changed the third point, became the second point. So, so difficult. Jacob's staff. Okay, so they fought it. You know that story. But what I like with that, it's from that moment, Jacob will always need, like I told you, always need that. Do you have problems in your life that you think that it's a limitation for your ministry or for life or for your testimony? Do you have things happening you think, if I haven't done that, or if I didn't have that in my life, I will do that, I will, if ever I research some kind of things. You know, you can ask for Dr. Alvarez. I have back problem. I was involved in sport when I was young, before being Christian. I did too much sport. So now with the age, it's 20 years now, I do have that. I have back problem. And when it comes, it happened sometimes when I was supposed to preach, the moment I tried to be on my feet, the thing was there. I had to stop. I was supposed to sing, supposed to preach the whole day. This happened. I cried at that moment, not because of the pain, but I was thinking, it's not possible, God. Why? Why? I took my medication. I did sing sitting on a chair. I preached all my time like that. So now I live with that always in my mind. I have to drive. We have to drive from here to New York City. So I have to cut it. When I was young, I did 12 hours, 15 hours driving, and it's okay. Now, each 2 hours, I stop, I walk, and I don't do more than 4 hours, 5 hours. Probably we'll have to do 5 or 6 hours from Chattanooga to Roanoke. So I feel that. It's a fear always. I wake up in the morning thinking it will come or not, take medication or not. It's always there. And each time I say, Lord, you want me to travel, to take a flight, to drive thousands of kilometers in the States with my back's problem? Why? And you know what is the answer? You know the verse by heart. What comes to your mind? Yeah. My grace is sufficient. The staff is here. I will, if the Lord wants, I will use you not because you are young, beautiful, you speak well, you have a good health, you will speak strong and run and jump from here to here. No. I will not give you illustration from soccer I did this morning or trails, you know, running in the mountains. No, I just can share with you I have back problem. Sometimes I stay in my bed because I suffer. That's all. But I can say also, if the Lord asked me to go, I say, okay, you said I go, and your grace is enough and your strength is enough. This morning, I had to have my time with the Lord to be able to speak to you. Don't ask me to speak at 10 evening. Go to bed. So, just to finish, I read the verse. So, it will be a help for anybody. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Oh, there is something. Infirmities and what? Reproaches, okay. It's not a question just of flesh. Sometimes you have somebody that is your thorn. You know, reproaching all the time. Why do you do that? And you do that. Okay, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong.